chosen to speak on the Word of God on the theme of mission and also a bit of crisis and trauma and how the Word of God helps us to overcome these traumatic experiences. So for our sharing this evening, I would like to read the Word of God from Prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. So if you have the Bibles, you can open Prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. A vision of God in the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." The word of the Lord.
Praise be to Lord Jesus Christ.
First of all, if I mix up with some Italian words with the English, please excuse me during this sharing, because that's the language we speak on a daily basis here. Well, I chose this particular theme and the reading from Prophet Isaiah, "Here am I, send me," because that was the theme of the Mission Sunday last Sunday when we celebrated the Mission Sunday. Because this year, the Mission Sunday was a little different from the other Sundays. I'm sure that now being here in Rome, I understand that in some parishes, Mission Sunday is celebrated. In some places in the world, there are mission weeks for 1 week, and there are some places the whole month is a mission month, and therefore there are so many celebrations. But this year, there has been, because of the pandemic, because of COVID, we have not been able to celebrate the Mission Sunday as we used to celebrate in our parishes. And therefore, the last word that is there, "Here am I, send me," is something that is very beautiful, that is at the end of this reading that I would like to stress upon. When I think of these words, "Here am I, send me," I remember the "send me" moments in my life. The first time, of course, in 2009 on January 3rd, when I received my diaconate ordination from the then Bishop of Pune, Bishop Valley, he passed away a year ago, who ordained me as a deacon. And the rector of my seminary called out my name, and I stood up from the congregation, and I said, "Here am I, I'm ready and willing." At that moment, I really felt that the Lord was calling me for a particular mission. And I remember later, I actually came to Bombay for my diaconate ministry. Another moment that I remember, send me moment in my life, was during my ordination, when I was ordained on May 3rd, 2010, when the priest called out my name before the bishop to be ordained a priest. I was sitting with my parents, and then I stood up and I said, "Here I am, Lord, I'm ready and willing for your mission." Another moment that comes to my mind as an SVD priest, on June 5th, 2010, after my ordination, when I went back to the seminary, we were given something called Mission Cross, which I still carry. It's on my bed where I keep during the day. when I was called, my name was called out for this particular mission cross as a missionary, again I stood up, I am ready and willing, and the mission cross was given to me to be the missionary. So I remember whenever this reading comes, send me, there were so many moments in my life, I thought the Lord is calling me and I volunteered to be the servant of the Lord. And I'm sure that each one of you, those who are part of this particular prayer ministry, those who are here this evening, you too have your send me moments. Maybe perhaps, or like you had gone for a retreat, you felt that, well, I should do something to serve the Lord. Maybe as a part of the intercessory group, part of the retreat team, part of the, say, word ministry, different ministries, or in the parish as a lector, or different ministries or cells and association. There might have been something that you felt within yourself, the Lord is calling me. And then you kept all your works, your assignments, your say, task, work aside, and said, Lord, I'm ready and willing for your love, for your kingdom, for your reign, for your ministry. I'm ready to sacrifice and be there. So each one has these send me moments. A couple of months ago, I was in a place here in Italy called Assisi. I'm sure that some of you may have been to this place in Assisi. And one of the beautiful churches that I went was the Porciuncola, the place that where the Lord had called Saint Francis. And there is a church within the church. It's a beautiful basilica, but inside the basilica, where the sanctuary is there, there is a small church which in fact, where Francis of Assisi received to rebuild church. The Lord called him and said, Francis, rebuild my church. Now there's something very beautiful. And that was the send me moment for Francis of Assisi to rebuild the church. And therefore, every saint or every missionary has these send me moments. And therefore, especially during these times of our health crisis, how does our mission or the send me moments help us to help one another in our Christian communities? In fact, my room where now I'm preaching to you, just very close to the main road here in Rome, one of the main streets. And I remember a few months ago, the siren of the ambulance heard every 5 minutes, because we were the ones who were hit hard in the month of March. And I could hear the ambulance siren every 5 minutes going across the road to the hospital very close by. And that created itself a kind of an anxiety within me. And all the, we are about 50 priests, student priests, and those who are administration of our congregation. And it created a kind of an anxiety within us. And something that to overcome these anxiety, what I did, every time I would hear this particular siren or the ambulance passing by, I would stand near the window, which is very close here. You see the crucifix, and there, I would just stand there and say a prayer of blessing to the sick man or the sick woman, whoever is being carried, give a blessing and pray. If, say, for example, someone is dying or someone's for good health. So something that I found very meaningful that would attach when we pray or when we show some kind of a solidarity to people who are suffering. And that's what I could do, because we were all staying indoors and we were locked down. And something that was, I found very meaningful in my own priestly ministry that I could do. Now, I would like to share with you something. Very often during these health crises, whether we are, whether with a religious or priest or the lay people, first of all, we all of us are missionaries. I'm not saying that we are just priests or bishops or the lay people. All of us are missionaries. The first thing that what the Mission Sunday celebrates is that God is the, in God is the origin of mission. We call in Latin Missio Dei. In the sense, mission originates in God. Secondly, mission in our life actually comes alive when we encounter Christ personally, when we encounter. I will give you some examples from the scripture, and then you will see how the encounter with Christ will give us the orientation in our life or to do some missionary activities. Because in order to give witness to Christ as a missionary, we need to have an encounter. And the third most important thing is that all our mission or missionary activities, our prayer, our Christian life, our discipleship is animated by the Spirit. You see the origin of mission in the Father, but the mission has real meaning when we encounter Christ, because mission is all about giving witness. But this giving witness is animated by the Spirit. And fourthly, in order to do this mission, we need space and time. And therefore, the church is missionary. It is in the church that we, or in the Christian community, that we do mission. And fourth, that is the most important thing. The church is missionary. And the fifth point is, I am missionary. No, that is the most important. It's not big, just like I say, the Christian community is missionary, but I am missionary. I am part of this mission. There's a very popular saying, it's not I am missionary, but I am mission. In the sense, the fact that I give witness to the Lord, I myself become a kind of a mission to the world because I live what I preach. And therefore, this evening, how do we give witness? How do we do our mission in these especially times of pandemic? I would like to highlight on three words, crisis, trauma, and mission. I'm sure that you have heard these words, crisis, no? Crisis is something very external. Say a country can have a financial crisis, economic crisis, or say a person can have a moral crisis, spiritual crisis. But there's something called a trauma. Trauma is something, when I see a particular crisis, say in my society, in my family, I'm personally deeply distressed, I'm touched. I suffer from within, no? So there are people, say, there may be crisis, but people don't suffer. But there are people who go through these traumatic experiences, no? That is something beautiful. In the scripture, we have so many examples of these traumatic experiences. The traumatic experiences happen to both individuals as well as to the community. Let me give an example. Job, if you take the book of Job, Job is a beautiful example for traumatic experience. He was a friend of God, but then suddenly, it's all things go wrong in his life. Say Job, who said, if you receive the good from God's hand, shall we not also receive bad from comes from the Lord? I think chapter 2, verse 9, verse 10, he says. But then if you take chapter 30, verse 20, he says, I cry to you and you do not answer me. I stand and you merely look at me. You have turned cruel to me. With the might of your hand, you persecute me. You lift me up on the wind, you make me ride on it, and you toss me about in the roar of the storm. I know that you will bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Job goes through this traumatic experience because, first of all, he has lost his family members. Then his wife has abandoned him. He feels that his friends have gone away from him. They are not taking his position. But more than that, he feels that God has stopped being his friend. Say in the Facebook, you have friend and unfriend. No, you send an invite or say in different social medias, you become friend with someone or friend to someone. Here's actually Job feels the same, similar thing. So far, God has been my friend. But now with all these sufferings in my life, I feel that God has stopped being my friend. And this is the biggest crisis that he goes through. And actually, it's not only a crisis, but a traumatic experience because he suffers. And there is no answer to his suffering. Secondly, it's not only the persons who go through the traumatic experience, it is the community. Israel as a community, Israel as a nation, was always going through crisis. For example, one of the things that happened to Israel was slavery. See, the Assyrians, if you read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, especially the book of Kings and the prophets, you realize the Assyrians came and destroyed the northern kingdom. Then the Babylonians came and destroyed the southern kingdom, Jerusalem. And after the Babylonians came the Persians. After the Persians came Greeks. And after the Greeks came Romans. That's the time of Jesus. So you can see, about 700 years, the people of Israel were in slavery. And say, this was something, who would like to be a slave? Say, when we take our own national history, you know, the British ruled us for about 200 years. We have a very, very painful colonial history. And this is exactly something very similar to Israel, who went through traumatic experience because every now and then they were destroyed by each kingdom, each, enemy. And then they were taken to exile. Their families were destroyed. Their temple was destroyed. Their priests were taken into exile. And see, the community goes through this crisis and also kind of a very traumatic experiences in life. Especially if you read Psalm 137, no? I'm sure that many of you know, by the rivers of Babylon, where we where we sat down and where we wept. There's something very beautiful because the people are taken to Babylon. They're sitting by the river there and then they're weeping because they have no hope. So exactly a kind of a traumatic experience, and they have lost their children. And if you read the entire Psalm, how this lamentation becomes a kind of a revenge and how they want to take a revenge. So you can see that how the traumatic experience can affect the people. Now, my point here is that what I would like to stress in the context of mission is that very often people are called, or mission is given to some biblical characters or the biblical individuals when the community is going through some kind of a traumatic experience. See, I would like to cite here and also explain to you the vocation or the call of Moses. You see, in chapter 3 of Exodus, when God called Moses, why does actually God call Moses? Not just because he wanted to be the leader, but he says in Exodus chapter 3, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians. In other words, the people of Israel, they were in the bondage or slavery in Egypt, and they cried out to the Lord out of their, when they were suffering as slaves. And God hears their cry. And God wants to send a leader to them. And God calls Moses. And therefore you can see a missionary or a leader, a prophet is called in times of crisis or the traumatic experience that are experienced by the community. It's not only with Moses. If you take the book of Judges, when God calls either Deborah, or when God calls Gideon, when God calls Jephthah, or when God calls Samson, you can see the community of Israel, the tribes in which they belong to, or the tribes, other tribes of Israel, they were oppressed, they were enslaved. So it was a kind of a political crisis, very difficult situation that they were going through. And therefore God calls some people and entrusts them with this mission. And this is something beautiful that you find also in the book of Isaiah. Now, God calls the prophet Isaiah in chapter 6. If you situate prophet Isaiah historically, in the 8th century, actually the Assyrians were, practically were at the door of Jerusalem, wanted to destroy and take the people in slavery back to Assyria. And that's the time God actually calls the prophet Isaiah, asking the people to give, to give hope to them. Actually, in the book of Isaiah, what actually created the crisis is not the political crisis, but more than that, the covenantal infidelity. I would like to call it as a covenantal crisis, no? Because people did not obey the law of the Lord. People did not obey the covenant of the commandments of the Lord. People went through this particular crisis. And there is something beautiful that a prophet in Isaiah chapter, just we read from chapter 6, but if you take chapter 7 verse 9, he says, if you do not stand firm in faith, you shall not stand at all. In other words, God calls prophet Isaiah to tell them that you need to have faith, faith in me, to give the entire community this. Those who have studied the book of Isaiah in the word ministry, you know that we speak about three Isaiahs. There is a second Isaiah and there's a third Isaiah. The second Isaiah and third Isaiah were during the time of the exile of Babylonian exile. So again, they go through very traumatic experiences. So if you read later chapter 40 onwards, you will see how these prophets of God who suffer along with the people and go through traumatic experience, but they're able to give hope to others. The second point that I would like to share with you is that when we suffer or go through traumatic experiences, God actually does not abandon us, but he accompanies us and he reorients us in our mission. Let me give you an example of the two disciples at Emmaus. You know, something very beautiful that you find in Gospel of Luke chapter 24. Now, Jesus went up to Jerusalem in the Gospel of Luke. And according to the evangelist Luke, Jerusalem is actually the place of discipleship. That's the place where you are supposed to be there. Jesus tells them, remain in Jerusalem. But then you see the most traumatic experience that the disciples went through was Jesus' passion and death. And moreover, they did not believe the women who went to the tomb on that morning, saying that this is all gossip, these are all false stories. And when they were walking, say they're exactly going opposite from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a place of discipleship, but Emmaus, just the opposite, is a place of escape. And they go in the opposite direction. And you see, Jesus meets them on the path, he befriends them, tells them, reproaches them how foolish you were, how slow to understand, you know, the word of God. And Jesus begins to explain. He begins to interpret the scripture. Then what happens? They recognize Jesus at the breaking of the bread, you know, when they were at the Emmaus. And then, you see, they immediately run back to Jerusalem. Now, if you have paid attention to the text, so many verses, say from verse 13 to verse 30, this almost 17 verses are given to tell their story of escape. No? You see? But then within no time, within one or two verses, they are back to Jerusalem. It's nothing. Because they are back and Jesus has redirected them from the place of their escape back to discipleship. And that's where that God actually, when we go through difficult moments, when we go through suffering, these traumatic experiences, that God is there. He accompanies us and then he redirects us, you know, back to our mission. The third point that I would like to speak to you is also, this is something, I do not know whether all of you will agree, but then something that I would like to say, Bible itself is something, is a product of traumatic experience. No? Bible itself is a product of a traumatic experience. So if you study the word of God, especially when these books were written, the Old Testament was, say, could have been composed, no, in the 5th century. And it was not written before that, but say it was put after 5th century, 4th century. Why did they write? Because when the people of Israel came back from, say, Babylonian exile, they wanted to preserve the memory. Memory of what? All the good and the bad that they went through. See, the bad things would be their, the difficult moments, their exile, say the sufferings that they had in Babylon. So when they came back, they wanted to write how the good Lord created the universe, how the good Lord gave us the commandment, the promised land, but how we were unfaithful to this Lord. And then we suffered, but now we have come back. They wanted to write down the memories. No? See, when we come to the New Testament, you can ask, why were the Gospels written? Why did Matthew write his Gospel? Why did John write his Gospel? Why did Mark write his Gospel? See, imagine Matthew's Gospel was written in the year 80 or 90 because the Christians, the disciples of Christ, were thrown out of synagogue. So that was a traumatic experience, no? And then they wanted to write down, though we are going through difficult time, we do not want to lose the memory of Jesus. And we would like to give this memory to the younger generation, the generation that they are going to. And therefore, that's the reason, if you are going through traumatic experiences, suffering, pick up the Bible, read. And I'm sure the best book in the world that can help you to cope with your traumatic experience is the Bible, the scripture. Because you find a lot of traumatic experience. Say, even Paul writes to the communities because they are going through hardships. They are going through difficulties. There are conflicts. There are challenges. Paul writes his letters because the people, he wanted to respond to the crisis that they were going. And therefore, you can say that even the word of God, which has come into the form of a book because the communities were going through. And therefore today, as a community, I'm saying as a nation, as a community, we are going through crisis. If you want to find meaning, if you want to find hope, read the Bible. And therefore, you can also give this message to others. The word that I started with is, here am I, send me. There are two things that are very pertinent. Here am I. What does it say? Here am I is my availability, my generosity to the Lord. Send me is my surrender to the Lord. So I'm available to the Lord, and at the same time, I surrender myself to the Lord. Especially, say, today the mission has totally changed in our context. It's not like that earlier we were, say, doing a lot of things in the parishes, in the communities. Today you can see a virtual church, or you can say virtual ecclesia, you can say a virtual, say, Christian community that is present. I can see at least some about 20-25 faces on my screen. And I see this as a kind of a, say, virtual or internet ecclesia, the internet church, where we preach the word of God, we listen to the word of God, we share the word of God, we pray together. And I'm sure that these are the ways and means in which am I available to the Lord. Say, I'm not able to go to the church, but then there is a kind of a retreat when there is a sharing. Am I ready to say part of this prayer meet? Am I ready to be part of this particular ministry? This is my availability, my giving of time together. Secondly, perhaps I may not be able to do many things because, say, we are all locked inside and staying indoors. Of course, in India, the situation may be improving, but we have now in the second peak here in Italy, in the second wave. Now the cases are increasing given the number that we have, our population. And therefore, today, other week, Pope had given a beautiful encyclical, Fratelli Tutti, no? The spirit of brotherhood. I pray that in our ministry, in our dealings, in our, say, whatever we do, we have this spirit of solidarity, be it, I'm saying, virtually, or the best thing that I can say that is to give to hope. That's the best mission that we have in our world today. Perhaps you pick up the call, speak to someone, ask them, inquire about them, say whether you are able to reach out to them, share your resources. Of course, being, say, aware of all the restrictions that you have. I'm sure that's the best ministry you can be part of. And that's why I said, the real encounter with the real mission begins with the encounter with the Lord. When we read the word of God, we encounter the Lord, and we would like to share this Christ with others. I'm sure that this is a kind of a new mission that we are going to face as we face a lot of traumatic experience in our community and in our individual life. May God bless you and be with you and with your families as we together say, here am I, Lord, send me.